A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
G'day, my name is Mike Goldman, and today on the mic has a mic off, Mike Gunner, Mike Goldman. He's from Married at First Sight, reality TV superstar. He has his own podcast and a name like a video game character. Mike Gunner, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I like the idea of superstar. I like what you did there.
Well, you're on the number one TV show in the country. How are you not right now? You can't walk down the street without getting noticed and asked for autographs.
Yeah, that's
and
true. That is true. How long do you think that'll last?
Probably another week. Probably 2 weeks if you're lucky.
Oh, I've noticed it dropping off.
It depends if you do any more TV commercials with little pussycats. You do a mattress commercial at the moment or something?
Betting, yeah. Well,
this guy likes to spend a bit of time in the sack. Let's get him on a mattress commercial.
I've been known to. I actually uploaded a picture to Instagram a couple of weeks ago, and it was a neighbor's cat had jumped in my bed, and I was patting it, and my girlfriend took a photo of us. And a betting company decided that would be a good look for their brand. And here we go. I'm now doing a bit of modeling for a betting company.
Why not? Is that your first modeling job ever?
It's not, actually. I used to throw myself down a runway once upon a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff? Lowe's?
Excuse me.
David Jones?
No. I used to...
Gucci?
Yes, getting there.
It's all Gucci.
Do you know, I don't like Gucci stuff.
No, really?
I don't,
Tell us about your fashion sense.
You know what? I'm...
North Lano?
Actually, excuse me. This is a Levi's shirt. I don't know if you can notice
Flano
it.
Flano? Oh, okay. No, it's
not.
No,
it's Levi's
rocks. I love
Levi's. Cotton. No, I don't like the whole brand thing. I'm not a big brand guy. In fact, I bought this. I think I paid about $12 at a vintage store. Big fan of vintage stores.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like the idea of recycling.
Me too. As you can see, most of my clothes are falling apart.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you look cool in that. And the thing is, you know, a jacket like that, how long do you reckon you could have that jacket for?
This shirt. Oh, actually, you know what? It is a bit of a label. It's some Bondi label. And I think this is couture. Oh, yeah. It's chiseled couture.
It's a manufactured bit of damage.
Just get it down a little bit to make it look like it's old.
Well, I can see what they've done there. And it works well. But, I mean, you could own that jacket for 20 years, right? Mm. You know, maybe the sleeves...
It's a shirt.
Well, it looks like a jacket.
But it looks, because I'm wearing it like a jacket.
You are.
What you're saying.
To be fair. No, it looks good.
So what's going on with you, man? What's going on with you in the world?
Life's good.
What are the plans since being on the Australia's number one reality TV show? Which, by the way, I'm not really going to go into it too much other than saying I think it's the biggest crock of shit television show I've ever seen. It is so set up to make the people on the show look bad.
Yeah.
I pretty much guarantee that the people who put that show together go looking for people who aren't meant to be together just to make good TV. So people go, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. How can these people do that? Thoughts?
Do you think?
I'm not saying the people on it are bastards or assholes.
Sure.
I mean, some
sure.
people are a little bit freaky.
Yeah.
This is coming from someone who watched, like, seriously, two episodes.
Oh, you didn't see the whole thing?
I absolutely didn't see the whole thing.
Okay, well, it was a pretty fair synopsis.
I saw a promo where you was telling Heidi, who's an old mate of mine from way back, that you were in love with her.
Yeah.
And now I just thought, I better check his Instagram, see what he's doing. Oh, hang on a minute, that's not Heidi. There's some other chick.
Well, man can't live on bread alone, you know, and I was single.
You got needs.
Yeah, of course. And you know, I ran into that girl. I actually wasn't looking. In fact, I think that's when you find someone that you really connect with, is when you're not looking.
Well, you were blind. You're like, hey, you weren't looking? Couldn't see anything?
No, I wasn't looking. In fact, I just stepped out of a gym, and there she was on her balcony.
So you were pumped. You were like...
Do you know, I've lost a lot of weight.
Bang, bang. Hey, baby. Just been doing... You know, you do push-ups and you get a bit of muscle.
Do you do many push-ups, Mike?
Yeah, I can... I do sit-ups.
How many push-ups can you knock out?
I sat up this morning, and I'll lie down tonight. So it's one push-up. No, but seriously, I've been going to the gym every day for the last day.
Okay. I can tell. It's working for you.
You're on the gear? What's
no, I never have been. No, buddy. I'm like not even 90 kilo now. You know, I was almost 100 there at one point, but I lost a lot of weight during stress.
Are you stressed out?
Yeah, I was stressed out.
Why do you stress out?
I don't stress out much. Emotions. Whoa, hello. emotions stress me out. That's my biggest stress in life at all, if at all. You know, I'm a bit sensitive, probably.
Did you stress out working on TV?
Probably not. I was pretty well in control. I was stressed out watching it back. I was stressed out during that, but in a good way. You know, I think it's those moments of adversity.
How do you handle it? What do? You meditate? No. Do you ring up your mum and go, "Mum, what do I do?"
No, just, plant-based diet and regular exercise.
You're a veggie.
I am.
How long has that been happening for?
About 6 years.
Oh, okay. So what made you decide to go veggie? Because you love animals or you hate plants? Sorry about the aeroplane.
Yeah, it's they're noisy here.
Yeah, so that's a low one, isn't it?
That is a low one. I feel like you could touch the wheel. Not both of those reasons. I do love animals. I'm an animal lover. I don't like to think that, you know, animals could live in have to live in cages because we're hungry. You don't need it, clearly. There's a thousand reasons. Look, you sleep better. You feel better. It's better for the environment. Did you know that the greatest contributor to global warming is actually animal production?
Cows farting.
No.
Isn't it?
No, that's inaccurate. There's no doubt there's a...
Methane.
No, that's not it either. It's the clearing of land to
graze. Yeah, what they do in the Amazon's ridiculous. It's something like the size of a football field every
10 seconds.
But every 10 seconds?
I was hearing that 20 years ago. Can you imagine how much has been lost? I mean,
the size of a football field, if you did the math, every 10 seconds for the last 10 years,
that's heaps.
There's no more Amazon.
I know.
And they're the lungs of the planet. We need that place.
We do.
I do think we eat way too much meat. And Australia, I think, is one of the biggest meat eaters in the world per capita.
Do you know why we eat meat? There's two main reasons.
Marketing.
Well, it's probably that too.
Saying that we need it.
Tradition and habit. They're the two reasons. It's not through necessity. I mean, people say, I need my protein. I need my my fiber. I mean, I need my iron. But have you seen a gorilla? Have you seen a silverback gorilla? Those things are like 250 kilo of solid muscle. Mate, look at some of those.
A cow just chews grass all day.
Well, it does. But you look at a kangaroo jumping around. Buddy, they're ripped, right? I mean, they haven't touched a stick of meat in their lifetime. So, I mean, people are misinformed. And that's one of the reasons why I've started my little podcast. We will get onto that.
And our teeth as well. I mean, where our teeth are flat.
That's
right. Like animals that would only eat grass, as opposed to like a tiger or a bear that might eat meat that's got sharp teeth.
That's right. Yeah, we still have a
our intestinal tract as well. Apparently,
it's not designed for it.
It's not designed. It's a lot longer. So to process
vegetable matter. Yeah, we have the canine tooth, the central, the lateral, and the canine. And people say, well, I have a canine tooth, so I should eat meat. Not really. No, that's actually inaccurate.
Is that called a canine?
Canine, yeah. People say canine, but it's not. It's a canine.
If you got rabies, I guess it would be.
Well, that's right. I haven't had that.
What do you eat on an average day being veggie?
Oh, mate, there's any number of things. In fact, you know, anything that everyone else eats just beside the meat. You know, and look, but you know what I've learned over the years, Mike?
I'm about 60, 70% veggie. And I'm working my way towards being 100%. But sometimes someone will service me meat and a lot of people around and go, and there's no other option and I'm hungry and I just feel like I have to eat.
Yeah.
Otherwise later I'm going to feel like shit.
Absolutely.
No energy. What do you do in those situations?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, you go to a festival or an event somewhere and I mean, everything on the menu is meat. And you know, you can either go hungry or you can eat meat, and I have eaten it in those circumstances.
You'll carry apples and bananas in your pants.
I literally have
some there now?
I have, well, I just had an apple, a banana and a pear on the way over here. Okay. Plenty of fiber for me today. And some sugar in there. But look, it's something I've learned over the years. You have to be gentle and delicate with it. If people, you know, they shut their ears if you just start out with... I never open with, I'm a vegetarian. But if someone says, hey, you know, how'd you get to mid-40s and you're in, you know, you're lean and you're positive, that's what I tell them. It's like, all right, well, that's the secret.
Yeah, I didn't think you were in your mid-40s. I thought you were a bit younger than that.
Yeah, 40. I'll be 45 in a couple of months. How old are you?
I'm 46.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you're a veggie. You know, you've got all your hair, you know, your bits and
well,
you're happening.
Yes and no.
What do you mean?
Yes and no. Dude, I got a hair tattoo.
Piss off.
No kidding.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm bald at the top. This is public knowledge. You didn't know this. Did you do any research about me?
I'm sorry. I didn't Google, is his hair real?
That's all you would need to Google.
And you get serious? The whole
story. Yeah, no kidding.
Can I touch it?
Absolutely.
Oh, like it's smooth. Oh, but there's a little bit of old hair there.
Very little.
So you still have to shave it?
Yeah. So I shave the sides, and mostly because it still grows on the sides. And at the top, I don't know if you can see. You see this little scar? Is it that side or that side?
Yeah, there's a scar.
Okay, there. That scar was there.
And so that's not a vanity scar.
No.
If you go to tattoo my hair in, can you please just put in a little scar right there?
Well,
no, I want to look tough.
I'll give you the tip. They actually do that. They do normally put a scar in, but for me, he just went around my existing scars. I'm going to show you the top of my head, and you're going to see a bunch more.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
So a bit of misspent. You falling off skateboards, motorbikes, that kind of thing. Helmetless, of course. Mm. But that little scar, you just went around it, and it kind of honoured the fact, you know, that I had one originally, and it also gives the impression that it's a real hairdo, but it's not. So I've paved the way for all those bald men out there, and I'm not. You know what? Somebody on radio asked me about it, and I think they thought I would be ashamed, and I'd be like, "Oh no, it's not." You know, but mate, own it. Do you know what I mean? Own it. I have absolutely. I never take a backward step, Mike. I'm happy with who I am.
What made you decide to do it?
Well, I actually. Do you know what's funny? A mate of mine from the gym. He turned up one day, and he suddenly had this kind of hair, and I was like, "Buddy, I don't remember you having so much hair." And he told me about it, and immediately I decided to get it done, and yeah, I never looked back.
And what's the cost to do something like that?
Do you know what? It's not as much as you think. It used to be more expensive, but there's a lot more people getting it done now. It's about, I think it's about $1,500, and then it's there for life. And look, do you know what? You know, girls are getting their boobs done, they got hair extensions, they got fingernails, they got all sorts of cool stuff. And why can't the guys have some fun too? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's heaps of guys getting it done.
You want to look better? You had anything else done?
No, just that, but...
you got good teeth.
Thanks, man, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I have had these done. I got them knocked out.
Oh, what, playing skateboarding or something? Or?
It was a motorbike accident, and I lost one completely, and then a fist fight, and I lost another one. Ooh. And then I chipped a third one, and I had a friend at the time who said, you know what, let me just sort this out for you. He's a dental prosthetist, and so he did crowns for me years ago, 10 years ago.
What about Botox, fillers, any of that?
Never
butt
had any
implants?
No, never had any of that.
Muscle implants, abs inserted?
Excuse me. Dude, I'm pretty skinny, so, you know, none of that.
I would have done that thing with my head, but I have a head shaped like a peanut. I like your head.
You've got good hair.
I shaved it once, and I've just got a big, massive bump there, and I got another huge sort of bump. In the back, and it just, like, I remember when I shaved my head, someone came up to me and said, "What happened to the back of your head? You look like you've been smashed with a baseball bat." So
that's all it took, and then you grew your hair. No, what did you say to that person in that moment?
Well, I just laughed and went, "Fair enough, I'm going to grow my hair back over that weird bump."
But so you've let what somebody said affect the way you feel?
No, I actually I didn't get that done, but I've had hair cut out of the back and stuck in the front.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay, I like it. They've done a good job.
Yeah, there's a guy called Dr. Nudson in Sydney.
Okay.
And what they do is they just take some hair out of the back and they stick it in the front. And they actually have a robot that does it now.
Is that right?
So what this robot does is that they attach it to the back of your head and it takes out a hair strand by strand so it doesn't leave a scar. Because people used to get this done and leave a big line scar along the back.
I've seen Jamie
Foxx has got a massive couple of lines along the back of his head, and you got a tattoo over the top of it, try and cover it up.
But, complicated.
But now that doesn't happen, and the robot takes it out, and the hair artiste, Dr. Nudson, he'll come in and sew one
at
a time.
It sounds painful.
To get something done like that, it's about 10 grand.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is the cheaper option.
So you're going to have to want to do it. But that was like 10 years ago.
Okay. And it's naturally growing of its own accord.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the big, tough, strong hair at the back.
Okay.
Listen to us little vain chickens talking about our hair and up. But you're right. You know, if girls can go and get, you know, fillers, implants.
Right.
You get the boob job done. Yeah. Get ears.
And they're so proud of it.
Why can't guys, you know.
Do you mind if I vape?
Want to do that as well. You can vape away. Mm. This is a vape studio. You can do all the vaping you like. What is that? What flavor is this vape that you're doing?
I've got a little bit of vanilla and dragon fruit going on here. And let me tell you something about vaping. And I'm glad you brought this up. Well, I didn't actually mean to bring it up, but I've been vaping for a little while. I used to roll cigarettes once upon a time. And I do you know what? Everyone that cannot get away from cigarettes should be vaping.
Mm. But isn't it coming out that these things give you cancer too?
No, that's inaccurate also. And I'll tell you why that is, because I've done the research. They used to call it popcorn lung. Okay, now The reason they call it that is because in the United States, there was a popcorn factory that would make, you know, this popcorn product, and they would coat it with a material that is similarly, you know, in this particular liquid that I'm vaping now. Now, the concern is that, you know, these people that worked in this factory day and night were ingesting or, you know, inhaling so much of this in such a quantity that it was giving them this you know, infection in their lung, which was actually not a big problem. They could get over it. It was like a cold, the symptoms of bronchitis. So that's what it is. Look, anecdotally, I can tell you, man, I have never had any issue with vaping. Nothing, mate. I surf, I run. I can run a mile like without coughing like I used to with cigarettes. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, I got my dad a vape from a place called MedMen in the US that sells all the marijuana you could possibly imagine, all the crystals that you want to smoke, or not crystal meth, that like there's apparently marijuana crystals, all sorts of crazy stuff. Love so it. Many different products. And he was having a bit of a problem with the cancer in his throat, and smoking a vape with some CBD in it fixed that right up.
And did it get him high, or was it just the symptom of...
I think it relaxed him as well, because it'd be quite stressful knowing that you've got cancer and you're having to deal with that.
He's probably high right now.
How's your podcast going?
It's going well. Do you know what? Can I tell you something, Mike? I enjoy it. That number one, first and foremost, I really enjoy it. I got a guy I live with who is a marketing guy. He never really was a technical fella at all, but I'm even less technical than he is. So I employed him to you know, work out all the cable and do all the stuff that, you know, on the computer. And he and I sort of host it and co-host it, and we're having so much fun with it. Look, is it super popular? Not right away. It'll probably take a little time, and we're a little bit, you know, slow on the uptake. We're getting better as we go. I think we're on to our 7th episode, and we're having, you know, other people come in. You know, they don't have to necessarily be celebrities; just interesting people, interesting stories.
Do you know what? Some of the best shows I've done have been with people who aren't really that well known. They just got a really good story to tell.
Right.
And like the most views, because I think a lot of the times people go, oh, what do I want to listen to? Oh, I mean, this guy was an ice addict and got over it. I don't know a lot about that. I'll listen to it.
Yeah,
it
doesn't absolutely
necessarily mean have to be, oh, this guy was off a reality TV show, or this guy had a movie coming out or something like that.
Yeah.
So who you got lined up? Anyone exciting?
I just had this guy. Have you heard of a guy called John Kutis?
No, who's he?
Okay, he's a bit of a local legend of the Gold Coast, which is where I'm from now. And he doesn't have the lower part of his body from probably, it feels like about the belly button down. Mm-hmm. I've never really asked the detail of it, but he's this he calls himself an inspirational speaker. And mate, he's met everyone around the world. He's a really top guy. Mm-hmm. We had him in yesterday, just sort of talking about his life and just throwing questions at him and whatnot. Really decent fella. And man, considering what he has to live with, you know, he gets around on a skateboard because he physically can't walk, obviously.
I've heard a lot about that guy. He's so inspirational.
Oh, buddy.
He travels the world, you know, just telling people his story, and like there's not a dry eye in the house.
Absolutely.
Another guy who I interviewed, which got a great reaction, was Mike Rolls. He
I know that guy.
He had meningococcal.
Okay.
And just one day on a footy trip, he just became unconscious and woke up in a hospital. One leg missing, other leg half eaten by meningococcal, half of his face, and eventually he had to cut off the other leg because it was easier for him because he had so much trouble dealing with that leg. And that's what he wrote a book about, you know, cutting off the dead weight and removing the dead weight from your life, and turned it into this amazing story and presentation that he does that helps people realize that there's some things that you're carrying you just need to get rid of. In his case, it was a leg. And it's just great to get those kind of inspirational stories from people.
Can you imagine the effect that that's had on his day-to-day life? I mean, imagine just not having your legs.
But get this shit right. This guy can play golf as good as anyone I know. He's pretty much playing off scratch.
Is that right?
And he's got both these metal legs. You know,
so he can stand up on
robotic
them.
Legs,
Wow.
Oh, no, he can walk around. Have you seen the technology that they've got now with the people who might lose an arm? Or
so he's still got something to attach to.
Yeah. Well, like I was the stadium announcer at the Paralympic Games in Sydney 2000. And back then, the technology was mind-blowing, where these Paralympians would be running 100 meters in like 14, 15 seconds.
They'd beat us, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And back then, they were talking about how the technology is going to get better and better to the point where they're going to run faster than people who actually have legs.
No kidding. That Oscar Pistorius, mate, he can move.
He can move, sometimes in the wrong ways. Yeah. He's not moving much at the moment, though, in prison.
Do you think he's guilty?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, me too.
It's
a silly question.
In the middle of the night, he'd been fighting with his wife, obviously. I mean, you know, that was obvious, and then everyone was talking about that.
Shot her through the door.
And so who's in there in the toilet? Bang.
Yeah, it was...
You've got a gun, you don't just...
You'd have a conversation through the door, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know? Did he go to prison? Yeah, I haven't watched that story for a bit. I haven't been following it. He has gone to prison.
He's in jail, yeah.
Good. Yeah, that's where he belongs, I think. I'm not a fan of him. He's a really creepy dude.
Yeah, he was a bad person, but yeah, a great athlete. And you know, just because you're a great athlete doesn't mean that you can be the best bloke in the world. What's your take on Israel Folau?
Oh boy, look, you know, okay, let me hit it from this angle. As an athlete, three codes, did so well. You know what, AFL and rugby league, rugby union. Great
did he
athlete.
Play AFL?
Yeah, he was a very handy AFL player.
Israel played. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Early on, I think they took him from league to AFL, then he went to rugby. Right. But I know he did a stint in AFL. Mm-hmm. So, but look, for the things that he said, I don't agree with it. Mm. There's no question. You know, far out. You know, it's a bridge too far to expect people to agree with what you're saying. As far as you know, gay.
I mean,
what's his message? Gay people are.
Well, no, it's not his message. It's actually from the Bible. And he's a preacher, and he's got up and he's quoting the Bible. He's quoting it on his Instagram, and he's saying, "If you commit all of these sins,
you're going to hell.
You are going to hell."
Yeah,
and you know, one of them was saying, you know, if you're homosexual, you'll go to hell. And like, I don't take offense to any of what he said because I don't believe in hell or heaven.
Yeah,
and whatever he wants to do in his own private time on his Instagram, I don't really give a shit about.
Yeah, I feel.
And there's people who you know are pretending that they're offended by it, and. Is I don't know. It's there's something that really stinks about it. That's for sure. I mean,
it sounds like some Old Testament stuff to me.
Yeah.
That's not. You know, I feel like he hasn't evolved his thinking.
They I know that the Rugby Union Authority, whoever it is, I think the ARU said that
he's finished.
They tried to pay him out $1 million as a settlement.
Yeah.
But he's taking it all the way to the High Court.
Yeah, he doesn't
and
want to stop
win.
Playing.
He'll win too because it's what he does in his own
freedom
private
of speech.
Time. It's his religion. We have freedom of religion.
Yeah.
And he's a preacher. And he's just, you know, saying, you know, you commit sins according to this book, this religion.
Yeah.
Then...
Is it hate speech,
you're going to go to hell. You know,
if you
go through most religions, you're going to find something that we'd interpret as hate speech.
That's a good point. Yeah, look, Farah, it's a struggle because, you know, he's such a... He's an inspirational guy, right? And then he's come out and said this. And I think you're right. I think he will win it. I'm all for the freedom of speech. Mm. There's no question. I think he's outdated in the way he's thinking. And I don't know what kind of audience he expected that would, you know, accept.
Well, his audience was, you know, in church.
Anyone
and
that people, listens,
and
yeah.
And some asshole in church filming him.
Oh, was that
while
what happened?
He's saying certain things and putting it out as like, oh, look what Israel Folau's saying. But he's quoting stuff from the Bible.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, how far do we want to go with censoring that kind of stuff?
And the thing is, if he does win that court case and he goes back to the you know the game, imagine that locker room. Imagine how frosty that'll be when he gets back in there. Because all these boys will be like, oh, boy, mate, you know, you've said all these things. And will he necessarily
will
be welcome?
Will they?
Probably not.
I don't think they give a shit.
I don't think they care.
I reckon they'd just be like, it's Izzy. It's what he's always been like. And I'm pretty sure when he'd be out on the town, you know, having a few drinks with his mates.
Oh, yeah, people are still going to get photos.
He would have said a hell of a lot worse things.
Oh, there's no question.
And everyone in the team would have said hell of a lot worse
things. What is that, Mike? Tell me about this, your take on it. Look, I've said some things in the public eye that weren't, you know, people weren't a fan of. Nothing that, honestly, most people I know haven't already said, you know, in the locker room or just, you know, on a bus
it's
or
locker
in a cafe.
Room talk. Like Donald Trump said, grab her on the pussy. No, it's locker room talk.
See, that I don't agree with. I don't like that. That's not fair, you know, to say the things that he did. I mean, that's just rude and not classy at all.
To somebody just met as well, which is just like, whoa, it's a bit weird.
He was just talking himself up, you know, big noting himself. I'm sure that there's, you know, there's... Far out. Don't get me started on Donald Trump. But look, I've said some things that I wasn't proud of it, but do I need to be hauled across the coals for it? I mean, people that...
What did you say? And like obviously on the show you said
I don't even think I need to
stuff.
Repeat it. I think it's on t-shirts now
what
I've said. Yeah,
what's
yeah,
on
no
a
kidding.
T-shirt?
Oh, some of the lines that I said in my experience on television.
Give us a t-shirt.
Well,
line.
I can't give you that. Unfortunately.
I think you know when you're on a primetime TV show and you're number one and millions of people are watching, newspapers and magazines, radio stations, they want to get in on your action. They want the people that watched your show to listen and to their show and read their papers and whatever. So they'll take something from what you said or what you did and turn it into a story.
Yeah.
And most of the time they'll ring you up and try and get you on their show so they can get a comment
That's
on
right.
you. That way their story goes from that to this because we got the guy from the actual show.
Buddy, I went on radio a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and it was a radio show down in the Goldie, and it blew up for them because I wasn't willing to just sort of lay down and let them tee off on me. It was, I think I was talking to three, let's call them professional radio hosts, and they'd come in with a story. Look, I'll tell you the story. You want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm at a party that I was asked to go to on a yacht. Really cool boat coming out of Broadbeach there. Brand new yacht.
Oh, the yacht. That's,
the yacht, Y-O-T.
That looks crazy.
Oh, it is. It's a great
night.
It's
like a nightclub on the water.
Right. Anyway, I took one photo with this particular radio DJ. This girl, you know, really lovely girl, actually, as it turns out. I've met her since. She's a real sweetheart.
Heather Maltman?
No. I'm not dropping names.
Okay.
But people will know what I'm talking about.
You just said lovely girl. I thought it must be her.
Here we go. Put a good word in for you, mate. That's good. I like what you did there. So I get one photo with this girl, and then the next thing, everybody's, they're together. And it's like, hang on a second. Yeah. That's not the case. And you know it. They knew full well it wasn't. So when I'm on the radio, they're like, Mike, so what's going on with this relationship? And I said, well, nothing, and you know it. And they're like, well, no. Come on, tell us more. I'm like, well, there's not a story. You've just manufactured this out of fresh air. Mm. And then onward and upward we went.
What your problem was? You took it too seriously.
No, I didn't.
You should have just gone, yeah, well, I'm looking to marry her at first sight as well.
That's the question.
But I want her to propose to me.
Unfortunately,
just let them think you are.
Yeah, but I'm cut of a different cloth. I won't do that. I mean, truth will always find its way.
That's what happens with people, you know, they come onto a reality TV show and they don't get showbiz and they realize that people are just trying to make a story or make it into a segment so that people watch it.
Do you reckon that's what it is?
Absolutely.
I'm not copping it. I'm not having it.
No, you're not. You don't want to know people talking about you in the wrong way or saying something a little bit strange.
No, good luck with that. Because the thing is, if you can do it all you like in print media and online and whatnot, but when you say it in my face, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a different story. Yeah. And everyone comes off second best, Mike. And I've noticed this. You know, there's a point to which they feel, I think they go into it thinking, oh, he's just going to lay down and cop a kicking here. But when you don't, they're like, plan B. This guy doesn't cop it.
Because the majority of people who would go on a show like the one you were on or any sort of reality TV show like Big Brother or what have you, they're like deers in the headlights and they're a bit freaked out when they get on a radio show.
Yeah, I got no problem with it.
And you just go, right, no, I know what I'm saying and I know what happened and you stand up for yourself.
Do you know what it is, Mike? And that's a good point you make. I've been an electrician. I'm a tradie. I've been in the building industry for more than 25 years. Mm. And, you know, from where I'm from, you know, we sit in meetings, we chit-chat on the job and whatnot. We're very frank. Men, I think, are very frank and very forthright. And that's just what I brought along to my whole experience. By the way, my TV experience was a lot of fun, amazing. I learned a lot. But it's the post-show experience that's kind of got me startled. I feel like almost the media are sort of state-sanctioned trolls. It's trolling. Mm. The things that have been said about me,
I think it's gotten
trolling.
Worse over the last 10 years because
definitely
the media have a smaller piece of the pie now as opposed to everyone who's an individual online reporter setting up their own YouTube page. The pie is split up into so many different pieces, whereas it's not just... you know, a couple of radio stations, a couple of TV stations and some magazine newspapers.
Sure.
So they are really fighting to get the eyeballs.
That has to be it.
And so they have to turn it up a little bit. And they've got editors and producers saying, come on, we've got to get the more views. You're about to get sacked if more people don't watch your show.
So there's some desperation in
there. They'll
push
your buttons a little bit more to get a reaction.
Do you know what? Can I tell you something? It is a guilty pleasure of mine. I quite enjoy this. The harder they come at me. Think of me as a brick wall. The harder you hit me, the more it's going to hurt your hand. Like, really, I don't care about it. I have a thick skin. You know, I said I was sensitive before to certain things, to affairs of the heart and that. But if it's attacking my mind in a way or my personality, I'm cool with that because I have that confidence that it's like, come at me as hard as you like and I'll always stand my ground.
Why can't you just say it's water off a duck's back? I don't really give a shit what people say.
Well, it's the matter of principle to me. It's a matter of principle. I don't go around talking shit about people. I mean, honestly, I don't. And unless you come at me and then it's on, the gloves are off and we will go toe-to-toe. But the fact that I... and this is where I'm bothered by it, Mike, is that there's so much media consumed by people. Everybody's got a device in their hand. You know, everybody's on their computer and listening to radio and television and whatnot. And essentially, and look, you may not be programmed, but you're certainly swayed into a certain way of thinking. And I don't like the media have this incredible power, really, don't they, to sway thinking. And that's unfair because the rest of us that don't really know. You look at some of the elections in the United States, I mean, you wouldn't even know what to believe because the media are really swaying how you're thinking about who you're electing. That's dangerous.
What state you're living in.
It's dangerous, man.
I mean, we could talk about the U.S. election for hours and...
Let's leave it alone. But
and how things are going. But is there any media outlet in particular that pissed you off over the time you've worked on TV?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a story last night by The Daily Fail. And I don't mind.
Daily Mail, man. You can ring up and fart into the telephone, and they'll write a story about it.
They love me.
The Daily Mail will honestly, no matter who you are, you can ring up and say, "Hello, yeah. We're having a tea party at a bowls club in Brisbane, and Joylene spilled some tea on me."
Yeah,
there's
a story.
It's a story. Because they know that one or two people might read it, they just churn it out.
Yeah, that's true. But I will say this for them, to their defense, in most cases, they'll message me and say, "Hey, Mike, listen, do you want to talk about this story? You know, you've dated the world's hottest grandmother's daughter." Oh my God, seriously? It was actually a bit of a compliment because she's gorgeous. It's like, all right, I'll claim that. That's fine. But they will always message and give you a bit of a heads up of what they're going to write so that I have a right of reply. I mean, it wouldn't matter what I said. They're still going to write it. And that's annoying. But, you know, that's fine. We can have this relationship back and forth.
You dated the world's hottest grandmother's daughter?
Look, for a couple of weeks I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it was
so
right.
Was the grandmother really hot? Did you get to meet the grandmother?
It was the mother. She's given this title because she has a grandson, I think, or daughter.
Oh, so the mother or the daughter?
Okay. I never met the mother. I never put eyes on her. But the daughter, I sort of chatted to her online at one point. She contacted me and said, "Oh, I saw you in a bar." And she said, "Let's
Tinder?
Catch up."
What's your go-to?
No. This was on Instagram. She saw me in a bar down there.
Instagram's
in
a
Berlin.
Dating app now, isn't it?
Do you reckon?
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, oh, I don't know. I don't. I'm engaged, so I can't
are you?
Speak." But
hey, congratulations!
I hear that you could just message girls and say, "Hey, what's up? What's going on?"
You probably could.
I mean, I know. Guys will sit there and they're basically trolling for sending the same message to like 50 different girls, and
that's a mistake.
Hopefully, they get a bite.
That's a mistake
because those girls could be friends, and they go.
Can I tell you something as well? You know, this whole dating app thing. I've got friends, and they send out these messages to girls, and I read their message. I'm like, what do you think you're going to get with that? You know, come on, man, you're too direct, or you're too. I should start a site where I give tips to guys. On just how to chat with women.
Okay, let's start now. The number one tip. Hi, welcome to Mike Gunner's Tips for Women. This is how you're going to meet the girl of your dreams online. Tip number one.
Excuse me, come on, Mike. You can't just throw me into it like that. But let me tell you something. There's going to be women all around this country that will just be honestly pulling their hair out right now going, "This guy,
he's too much. What mistakes do guys make then?
All right, well, believe it or not, firstly, they're way too direct, and they're forgetting the manners. You know, you still need to have good manners. Am I right? Are we exceeding time here?
No.
Sorry. And look, that's critical. You know, you have to be polite and courteous and charming if you can. You know, if you can afford a little charm in amongst all that, you're doing very well. These guys are just too direct, and the way that they speak about women, I know a lot of guys that I know, you know, they'll refer to women as, or girls as, like bitches or hoes or whatever. That just lose that from your vernacular altogether. That is not a good attitude toward women. I've been accused, no kidding, more than once of being a gaslighter, a misogynist, and a narcissist. I did explain before what a gaslighter is, and it's essentially somebody who reduces a woman's self-esteem to such an extent that she's suddenly, you know, really, she's lost all her confidence and whatnot. And then
do you think you can be blamed for that?
Just
because you lose interest in a girl and they lose self-esteem because they realize that you're not interested in them anymore.
If you're not interested in a woman, just tell her. Just be gentle about it. Say, "Look, you know what? I think it's run its course. I'm sorry, I feel like I can't maybe give you the emotional investment that you need right now," or something like that. But be honest and open. Don't just ghost a woman, not call her. I mean, that's unfair. That's unfair because then the next time she's going to be a little bit gun-shy meeting another guy. You know, this is the problem with guys. They're not treating women well enough.
Do you make girls gunner-shy?
Oh, I like what you did there. I have done in the past. I mean, I've made a ton of mistakes. Like, I'm not coming from an angle of a guy that knows everything. I certainly don't. I'm learning every day. But I do know, you know, the 101 lessons on how to be kind to someone. You know, you have to be kind. And I'm trying to bring back kindness being cool again, by the way.
So what's the number one mistake guys make when they're messaging girls online? What would be a good opening line and what's a bad one?
I'll tell you a good opening line. Far out, I can't believe we're having this conversation, but okay, let's imagine this girl's profile. She's about the right age for you. You know, she looks fun and healthy and got all the right qualities and values that you think you might be interested in. Don't just go messaging 50 girls the same thing, cut and paste. Like, they're onto you about that. Find someone that you think, you know, or maybe two or three people that might suit you pretty well. You might just say, hey there, I'm Jimmy. I read your profile. You know, you seem quite charming. Perhaps we could catch up for a drink one day. Or, in fact, I wouldn't even ask for a drink straight away. I'd read through her profile. Let's say she loves animals or she likes to go hiking. I see that you like to go hiking. Have you gone hiking at any particular mountains that I might know? Or something like that. Start a conversation. These guys are straight in there with, oh, you know, send me a nude. Or,
so you're like, do some research.
Do your
research. Don't just send a dick pic straight away.
You wouldn't go up to a woman in a cafe or at a bus stop and say, show me those breasts. I mean, that would just be ridiculous, right? She's going to slap you or certainly freak out and go, you got no chance. So why would you do that online? Why would you say to someone, you know, speak to them any other way than you would in real life? You're going to be charming in real life, right?
Yeah, people could say and do whatever they like in the privacy of their own home and on their phone, and they get a little bit confident. But when you're actually talking to someone in real life,
do you know what it is?
It's completely different.
It's impatience. A lot of people have impatience. Guys, I suppose, you know, what do they say? Don't shop when you're hungry and don't Tinder when you're horny. So just always be patient because people will test your patience immediately to test who you are and to see if they can trust you. If you look like an impatient person that just wants to get from 0 to 100 immediately, you know, a woman wants to be wooed. A woman wants to be taken out on a couple of dates.
So you know? I know what you're saying. You should probably have a pre-wank before you Tinder. So you're more relaxed and you're not trying for the sexual angle. You're trying for more of a friend and a partner. And then
if it helps, that's fine. You can do that. But look, I don't know. How do we get onto this? Oh, okay. You know what? All I'm saying is that for those guys out there, and there's plenty of single people and single girls too. Girls make mistakes as well online. Because I did a bit of online dating in my time, you know, previous to...
How many girls do you reckon you dated?
No more than probably anyone else, I would think. You know, I don't know.
Do you keep count of like how many girls you might have slept with over the years?
No.
Could you remember all their names?
I probably... No. Can you?
Absolutely.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah?
Hang on. I did a lot of travel.
Start with the A's. Anne, Annette, and... No. Of course I can remember them all.
No, look... I'm not even going to... That's not a fair question to ask a person. You can't ask how many people you've slept with.
Yeah, I haven't been on a show where people get married at first sight.
Yeah, but...
So you kind of leave yourself open to those.
Can I be
questions.
Honest with you? People go, why did you go on that show? And I'll tell you what, I legitimately... It was because I was single and I thought, what a cool way to meet someone. Mm. Really, I did. Mm. I felt like it would be a really unreal way.
Did you trust the process where you thought, okay, these guys are professionals?
Well, I did.
They know what they're doing. They're actually going to find the most perfect girl for me that I would probably never find in a million years if I was searching online or going to bars, going to clubs. This is the best match for me and this is going to change my life.
Look.
Did you think that? Did you believe it that much?
Yeah, I did.
Or did you just think, this will be great for my Insta following. Let's do it.
Look, these people have got plaques on their walls behind them. Do you know what I mean? So, like, they're more professional. Buddy, I'm a tradie. I'm not a love guru. So, I've got these three people working on the case. I did love the show, to be fair. I liked the format of it. And I thought, and I'd never been married. I wanted to see what that was like to have a woman walk down the aisle at me. And wow, what a moment, to be fair. And so, look, those guys and the experts on that show, they are professional and they do know what they're doing. And I think they, look, you know, you said earlier they put these couples together. It's an unknown quantity. It's not an exacting science putting people together. So sometimes you're going to have a success story and other times not.
Is that moment like when you saw Heidi off in the distance? Because she's the most beautiful girl. I mean, I've known her for like 10 years. And we're not like best friends or anything like that.
Yeah, you know of her.
We've got mutual friends and she's always been so funny and loud, outgoing.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that she's not married already, you know, that she has been single for so long. But what's that moment like when you go, who is it going to be? A brunette? Is it going to be a blonde?
Yeah.
Is she going to be short? Is she going to be tall? Is she going to be Chinese? Is she going to be Italian? Greek?
You don't know. Oh, I don't know if you saw that scene, but I'm taking these deep breaths. I was, I, I don't even know if I'd call it nerves. It was anxiety. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to turn around if this woman... Because to be fair, like you could turn around and just see someone immediately go, I'm not attracted to this person. But then it could be a really great girl or guy in their case. So it was. I'll never forget the moment. It's etched into my memory. I remember looking out to sea because we did it on a beach, a beautiful beach. I mean, the scene was gorgeous. Mm. I'm looking out to sea and there's actually whales jumping and there was whales on that day. I thought that was a good sign.
As long as it wasn't a whale at the end of the red carpet.
Well, it was actually a little timber boardwalk, actually. But no, when I spun around, look, I wasn't disappointed. I thought she was lovely. You know yourself, and she does. She lights up a room, this girl. Look, it's a shame it didn't work out. But that's not to say that I didn't make every effort. And honestly, I mean this sincerely, that, you know, this show could work for people. It's a numbers game.
Did it work for anyone?
Yeah, but you can't look at it like that. You can't look at it like that. I don't think... I'm an optimist. Like, I imagine turning around seeing this girl that I'd be with forever. Dude, I'm in my 40s, right? And you're getting married yourself, by the way. Have you been married before?
No.
You haven't? Okay, first time.
Not yet. Well, hey.
Wow, how are you feeling about that?
Coming soon.
How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, great. You know, I think you just got to find someone who makes you laugh, someone who gets you, someone who you love having a great time with, and someone who's not going to ride you all the time, or not that way. Someone who's not going to be on your case all the time, if you know what I mean. And
you had that before.
And let you be you.
You had that before, where a girl's not been on your case.
Yeah, but it's just because we're in different stages of our lives and wanted different things, and you know. But I think that,
how's this girl different?
She is someone who works in the entertainment industry, like me. Okay. And like, if I'm off hosting an event late at night and, you know, she's snoozing with clients, she'll get it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If I've got to go away for a couple of weeks to work on a TV show or whatever, then she'll understand. Yep. And like, you know, she just went to Bali to work on a movie for a couple of months, and you know, she got a green card and she's flying to the US. Just did a show at Columbia Pictures, no, Warner Brothers Studios, and you know, and like, if I was doing that in a relationship in the past, it'd be like, oh, just wouldn't work because being away from each other so much, you just have to be able to miss each other and appreciate
each other. Yeah,
and
there's a trust that's there as
well. And I trust her more than anyone I've ever known. And trust is a really important thing, especially if you're having those kind of long-distance relationship things.
Yeah. How long have you known this girl?
3 years.
What's her name, if you don't mind me asking?
Bianca Zupas.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah.
It's a nice name. Is she Italian or...?
Lots of fun. She's Greek.
Greek.
Half Greek.
I'm sorry,
but, you know,
right,
if you're like 10% Greek, you accept it as you're 100% and you eat lamb and you know,
you've been to Greece?
I have. I've been to Mykonos and Santorini.
How good is Santorini?
And we're probably going to get married in Greece. Probably going to do a little...
You haven't got it planned yet.
Elope in Corfu, I think, in Greece.
Oh,
at this
you're
going to
love Corfu.
Because she's got family from there. You've been there?
I have.
Yeah. Oh, what's it like?
Well, there's a hostel there called the Pink Palace.
Oh, okay. That's probably where I'll be staying.
No, you won't. You definitely won't. Stay away. This is when I was much younger, but I spent most of my time up in the Cyclades, which is the group of Eos, Mykonos, Naxos, Paros, Kos, those sort of areas. But Corfu's down the bottom. In fact, I went to another one, Rhodes, and there's an old city that's beautiful. Greece is gorgeous. Mm. It's beautiful. And the food's amazing. The people are lovely too.
And she is. And her family are great. And I can't wait. So it'll be incredible. Do you think you'll ever, walk someone down the aisle again? Or do you think you'll ever get married again?
Well, I got a suit ready to go for it.
Do you see that as you were actually married? Or do you see that as you just on a reality TV show?
Buddy, I had the ring. I had a suit. I had a girl in a gown and my family there. And we had a reception. I did. Mentally, you're ready for a wedding. Like, even though there's no signatures on paper, you take it very seriously.
I thought you did all that as well. Why didn't they do that? So they can't get half of your stuff at the end?
Probably, I believe other countries do it where they actually do legitimately get married.
All right, so this isn't an Australian concept. This is in another country.
I'm not sure, actually. I thought
this was the first place that we're stupid enough to do it.
I think they did it up in Denmark or Sweden or something like that, maybe. 6 seasons, so 6 years it's been
running. Well, it's going to keep going if it's pulling those kind of numbers.
Well, it's a good show. I mean, it really is. People love it. In fact, if you look at the ratings, it won every night. Mm. So we did really well.
Massive for Channel 9, yeah. Yeah, you guys did. Congratulations on your
show. Thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate that.
Do you think the producers hate it when you say that?
Probably do.
It's not his show.
Probably do.
We just filmed him.
But, look, you know what? I made some good friends in that show. In fact, I was only chatting with Cam yesterday. I chat with Mick, Nick, Mark, mostly the guys. Tamara from time to time. She's cool. There's a lot of cool people in the show. And in fact, I'll tell you something else. I made a commitment not to throw shade on anyone, Mike, so I won't do that. I didn't get along that well with all the people, but now the show's done, I've got full respect. You know, looking back on it, I think, oh my God, how did we, you know, not... I think we all did really well considering it was so emotional. And actually a lot of people have asked me, you know, online and in person, they've said, oh, I've applied for the show and should I do it? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Do it. If you're in a position where you're going to take it seriously and you're going to, you know, enter it with full sincerity and honesty, then absolutely. But if you're doing it just to get famous, don't bother.
What are the good things you've taken from that show?
Do you know what? I think I learned a lot about... The list is a long one, but I have certainly learned a lot about myself. You know, I'm impatient at times, and other times I'm quite mostly negative stuff about me that I need to work on. And that's honestly, I really do feel that I thought I was okay. I thought I was like not perfect, but I thought I was really in a great space emotionally, mentally, and all that. And I realize I'm probably, I don't think anyone is ever. And now I realize I'm more of a work in progress than ever I was before. But it's good. It's rattled my cage. It's made me go, Jesus, Michael, wake up and, you know, improve. Self-improvement.
Mike, does your mum call you Michael when
you're in
trouble?
Well, I call myself that when I'm in trouble with myself.
Oh, my mum too. Like, Mike's just, you know, my stage name. But when I'm in trouble and things are serious with my mum, it's Michael.
Do you like your name?
What are you doing, Michael?
Do you like Mike?
Yeah, Michael's good.
Yeah.
Do you not like your name?
I do. I like it. It's a good
one. If you had another name, what do you think it'd be?
It's a good question. I was almost going to be Cameron. My mother was almost going to call me Cameron. I like Scott. I know a lot of cool Scots.
Would you ever change your name? Like Andrew G changed it to Osher?
What's that about?
Oh, apparently, so he says in interviews and his book that I've got over there, is that he met someone who he really looked up to and thought was an amazing person. And he thought, you know, I need to give myself a new name.
What, that person that he met?
That person's name.
I'm sorry. That person's name was Osher.
Yeah. And so he decided to call himself Osher.
And Ginsburg.
Maybe he just wanted to, you know, reinvent himself. Because, you know, there was a stage where, you know, he was, you know, depressed and struggling and living in LA and not sure what to do with his life. And total revamp, new name.
Yeah.
I'm back, baby.
Do you know what? I got a lot of love for that guy, and I'll tell you why. And I got no problem with him. Mate, anything anyone wants to do to self-improve or whatever, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, buddy, go for it. And I will never bag anyone out for trying to be something better than they are, you know, yesterday. But I do have a lot of love for him because I do believe he is also a vegetarian. In fact, I think he's vegan.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Immediately his stock just went up in my book when I heard that. But also I like the way he presents himself. You know, he's a handsome guy, always has been, you know, and he speaks well.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the thing, you know. What? Tell me this. What is it? Is it Australia or is it the world in general? Is it human beings where somebody's, you know, say a little confident or they've got something going for them? Do people tend to want to bring that, rip that down?
Are you talking about the Australian tall poppy syndrome?
Yeah, what's like that about? Is that just Australian?
In America, if you're doing well, this is probably the best way to explain it. If you're walking across a crossing in the US and someone's driving a Ferrari, Americans will go, hey, nice car.
Right, great work. But in Australia,
you'd be like, ah, look at this fucking wanker.
Yeah, what's that about?
I think it comes from our convict days. And it's something that, this is just what I think personally, it's something that's entrenched in our culture of, you know, when the convicts were sent here for stealing a loaf of bread, and we're always told what to do by the establishment. And, you know, that's why we shows like... Underbelly do so well because, you know, the
underdog,
the crims are winning one up against the cops. And
yeah,
I think that there's a certain element of our society that doesn't like to see people doing well because they're not doing well.
I don't get that. I encourage people that are doing well. I mean,
I think it's changing.
I think there's a consciousness shift in
not
that,
as bad
it?
As it used to be.
Good. I'm getting a taste of it though from the media.
Yeah, but, and do you think that that's because they're just trying to turn something into a story, or because they're actually jealous of you because you've been on a number one TV show and you're what they would class as a reality TV star rather than someone who's worked their whole lives on radio and TV to get a job at a primetime show?
That's a good question, and it's a layered one too. And I think the only way I can answer that is to give you just tell you a little analogy. I was in an event not long ago, and I met a journalist. And journalists, look, I give them 100%. You know, like I'm doing with you here now. You know, I'm being completely transparent and open. And if people want to judge me, well, that's fine. But you are judging the real me. There's no facade here. That's why I happen to tell you about my head tattoo, or I'm going to give advice to men. People will be sitting there just shaking their head, going, "This fucking guy." But so I give 100%, and I met this journalist.
But don't think that. Just think, you know, there's people out there that are going to get good things.
There's people that
saying.
Will really like me, man. I get a ton of messages
don't
from people
worry,
going, Mike,
don't
love you.
Small stuff. Who gives a shit about what some wankers might be saying that don't even watch the show?
But you've been in media a long time, so you're kind of, you know, you're...
I'm accustomed to it.
Well, you are, you know, you're, you've been in the saddle a while. Maybe you didn't...
Dead.
Well done.
Sorry. I thought I was going to bite you. Yeah, I've been in the media for quite
you
some
have,
time.
You have, and maybe you're a little, you know, you're used to it, and that's fine, but maybe I'm not.
You can't take news stories personally. I mean,
is there any way of changing this?
If you come out and talk about them, then more people are going to hear about it, and they go, "Oh, what's he talking about?" And then they're going to go, "Oh, right, okay, fair enough, that happened."
Is there any way of changing the way that the media present? Because, okay, let me tell you something. If someone wrote something nice about me just once, they would be reinventing the wheel right there. I mean, that'd be something new, and I think that would sell. Do people not want, you know, good, positive, warm stories anymore?
There's
they just want
one
scandal?
Thing worse than being talked about in the media, and that's not being talked about.
Okay.
So it's all publicity. And if you want the publicity and you want the exposure, which you do, you want people to know about you. And you want them to know that you got a podcast so people can listen to your show. So the more that you're out there, more people are going to go, "Oh, who is this guy? Why are they picking on him? Oh, I like that. I just watched an interview with him. And he actually seems like a nice down-to-earth guy who has just let his layers go and he wanted to find the girl of his dreams. And, you know, things turned to shit and it didn't really work, but I might have a go at his podcast." So there is a certain extent of being talked about and being out there is only going to help you.
You're probably right about that. But please know this, Mike. It's not because I want to be any more famous. I mean, you know, if you and I went down for a coffee right now, I guarantee someone would come up and ask for a photo. Now, that for the first couple of weeks, that's kind of flattering, actually.
But you'd take it for them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I do. I grab the camera and I give a little selfie. And in some cases...
Oh, no, I mean, I'd take it for me and them.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, you mean yourself? Oh, sorry.
Do you still get asked... I recognize you immediately. Do you get asked for photos from time to time?
Yeah, absolutely. Just before, my mum was here. She wanted to get a quick photo. And
here we go.
A couple of weeks ago, my dad was in town. No. Yeah, sometimes. Not all the time. But, you know, when you're on TV and every ad break has a promo with your face on it, then even people who don't watch your show are going to go, "Hey," and they'll want a photo, even if they don't watch your show, just to say, "Hey, look, I got a photo with this guy."
Yeah, that surprises me sometimes because you feel like they want to come up to kind of get to know you a little bit better. And I'll have people say, I'm at the airport sitting having a meal or something, waiting for a plane. Someone will come up and go, "Can I get a photo?" Go, "Yeah, sure." And they get the photo and I'm about to shake their hand and go, "Oh, hey, what's your name, buddy?" And they are literally walking off. It's like, well, do you want to get to know me? You just want the photo.
They just want the photo.
They just want the photo. Yeah. What's that about? For what? What, so they can put on Instagram and go, "I met this guy." Well, you didn't really meet me. All you did was come up and do this and then walked away.
A lot of that's rude, for one. But a lot of people just see you as a piece of meat that they just want to get a photo with, and they don't care what you think, and they think that might just want them out of your way. So then, and some, it just depends on the person. They might just be a little bit shy and don't know how to talk to you. So that's for you, that would be an opportunity to meet someone. You did the right thing by saying, "Hey, what's your name?"
Yeah.
Before you do a photo, "What's your name? Where are you from?"
Well, that would be weird.
Yeah, but I know
I have to make the assumption they're there for the right reason.
A bit weird, and just say hello and just talk to them, ask them a couple questions about them. Because most of the time you find those people are just really shy, and then they might be a fan of you. And you don't instantly jump to the conclusion that, oh, they're just an asshole that wants to take a photo and show their friends. You know, they might actually genuinely like you.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And there's actually, hey, I'll tell you, this one woman came up and said to me, "Oh, Mike, are you Mike from the..." I said, "Yeah, I'm Mike." And she said, "You know, I should tell you, I wrote a very nasty thing about you online." I said, "Oh, really? What'd you write?" And she said, "Well, I said that you were this, that, and the other." And I said, "Well, I suppose you're entitled to your opinion." And she said, "Well, now I feel bad because you seem like a nice guy." And I said, "Well, yeah, you know, tell your friends that, you know, because I am a pretty decent person." She goes, "Oh, can I get a photo?" I thought, hang on, you were just telling me a minute ago you didn't like me. It's taken me 15 seconds to change your mind about this. Anyway, I did take a photo with her, and anyway, who knows what
she
did.
And she wrote online, this is the prick I was talking about.
Right, who knows, right? I'm pretty thick-skinned, but at the same time, you know, we were just talking about, so I guess, is that just what fame is, people coming up and recognising you? Or is it you're doing something significant? Mm. Because
you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you did something like, you know, you had a hit album or a hit TV show where you're a stand-up comedian, or you've written a feature film or written a TV show.
Yep. You've achieved something.
Yeah, you've achieved something. I mean, you've achieved something in a different sense. And some people take it the wrong way and they go, you're not a talented person. You don't deserve that space. But the thing is, your personality is being showcased when you're on a reality TV show, good or bad.
Yeah.
And some people will choose to focus on the bad parts. Some people focus on the good parts.
Yeah.
And you're really lucky because you have a platform to be able to find the people that are focused on the good parts will be your fans and watch your show.
It's a good point, Mike. I didn't think
about
that.
Watch your show, listen to your show. So just be positive. It's water off a duck's back. Don't put up with anyone's
crap. Not, buddy, I'm not losing any sleep over this thing. It's a matter of principle to me. It's a bit like if you were sitting in a cafe or at a bus stop and somebody came and just slapped you in the face, right? You'd want to know why they did that.
Oh, man, I've had that. I mean,
You've had that?
I've been out with, like, Brie Amer is a co-host with me on Friday Night Live, and we had millions of people watching on a Friday night, and then we go to a Gold Coast appearance where, you know, we're doing some sort of a charity fundraiser, and some drunk guy came up, poured a full jug of beer on Brie's head. A full jug of beer.
Jesus.
Not just a drink because he didn't like her. And then went off laughing at his mates and high-fiving them. And like,
Did they chuck him out?
Yeah, absolutely.
What an a-hole.
And obviously she went home, and you know, the horrible thing happened. There's going to be assholes out there.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people who love you. And that's just a fact of life.
Yeah, not everyone's going to love you.
It just amplifies it when you're out there and on the number one show in the world.
Well, I think you're right about that. Look, you probably only want people that are fans that genuinely understand who you are and know that you're a sincere person and maybe you've got something to contribute. But I will tell you this. Look, part of the reason I did this podcast, look, and I'd like to mention this actually. Somebody wrote in that journalist I mentioned to you earlier, you know, he wrote, oh, Mike thinks he can save the world one podcast at a time. Well, how else are you going to do it? Seriously. What am I going to go join politics and wait for those wheels to turn slowly and suddenly, I don't know what, make the world a better place? Buddy, we got probably 50 years to turn this world around. And that's a fact. Mm. Oceans are full of plastic. You know, temperatures are rising. You know, polar bears are falling off icebergs. Do you know what I mean? Like, we got a real problem on our hands.
And conversations like this where they can see
there's an awareness.
People talking about what is really going on in the world rather than a staged media story that's got sponsors that are oil companies all around.
Right.
That some of the population will go, oh, well, that's fair enough. That must be fact.
Right.
When they've got something like this, a long form podcast, when people could sit down and they can talk things through and they can talk about facts, they can Google it on the internet while they're having a chat and see things for what they really are. And these kind of chats, not necessarily ours in particular,
but just like in general,
smarter people than us having conversations, so people can go, wow, we need to make these changes in the world. We need to you know, help Aboriginal kids in far out communities. We need to stop eating as much meat. We need to protect the environment more than we actually are.
Yep.
Why? Because of these facts, rather than, oh, why? Because of what this press release said from, you know, a government organization that's got funds coming to them from different companies to help prop up their current campaign for the election.
Sure. Mike, look, you're right. You and I are just, we're being impartial here. You know, there's no agenda to what we're talking about. And I think raising that awareness, I mean, you named a couple of things there. You know, are we a threat to the media where we can just be speaking completely openly?
No, but
we're
not
getting paid to do this.
We are a threat to the media.
Do you think that's what it is?
Absolutely, because the media is getting more and more into little bites to capture people's attention and big headlines. But And they don't have the time or the effort
to expand on that
especially in free-to-air television and a radio show, because they've got to cut to commercial break.
Yeah.
They've got to cut to the news. They've got to play a song on the radio, or they've got to do what the program manager says. We can do exactly what we want for as long as
we want. Right.
And that's the greatest thing about doing a podcast or a show. Right. You know, if you get fired from a radio show, you've lost your fans. Yes. You've lost the like page and the Instagram page.
Yeah.
But you can do your show and your podcast for as long as you like. You That's can right. have a couple of months off and then you can come back and your fans will still be there. They're still the ones who have found you, who saw something that you did on TV years ago or on radio or whatever and decided to be your friend and to be a part of your experience and everything that you're trying to do to make the world a better place.
Do you feel like, I couldn't agree more again, and another good point you make, do you think that you in some way speak, I guess you're speaking for your fans in a way. I mean, a lot of these people don't have, you know, a large Instagram following or they haven't gotten famous or whatever. They don't have a podcast.
I hate the term fans.
Yeah, okay, forget fans. Followers is not even a good one.
A lot of people say that. I consider them friends because I think I'm the most contactable person out there that does a podcast or a TV show or whatever because people write to me and I make a point of writing back and say, what do you like? What do you want on the show? Well, you know, is there anyone that you think I should interview? And you know, I'll even if I get free stuff to give away, like I'll give it to the people who are supporting me and helping share the movement. So really, rather than fans, they're friends who are a part of the show and helping us put something out there that is valuable to society and the community. Otherwise, the show will just disappear and be nothing.
I like that. I'm going to use that term, friends. That makes a lot of sense because fans, it makes it sound like we've elevated ourselves.
Puts a wall between you and them.
It does. Yeah, yeah. I'm no better than anybody else. In fact, I've had a lot of people, and maybe you have yourself, where they come up and we have a chat, and they're like, "Jenno, you're very approachable. You're very easygoing." It's like, mate, I'm just a dude.
Yeah.
And I'm no better or worse than you. I'm not on a pedestal. Jesus.
Especially when they read something that a journalist has written, where the journalist obviously didn't like you or watched the show or just wanted to get people to read the article, they think, oh, he must be a complete asshole, and they say, oh, there he is. They talk to you, they realize you're a real person. You just might have a few views or things that you might have said or done that have been edited nice and tight to make you look like a prick on a TV show. And then they realize, hey, he's actually a nice guy.
Yeah,
he's actually got something to offer the world. He wants to do his own show and he's doing it. And you know, they're the suckers that put you on TV, and now you're actually going to use that to create something new and exciting. And we live in such an incredible time where people like you, an electrician, can go, okay, I'm going to do a fun little show, and now, oh shit, now I've got this power where so many people know who I am. I can just do a show, and I can talk about all my great values, which are saving the planet and, you know, being kind to people. And you mentioned something before that's your new catchphrase or your new slogan.
Make kindness cool again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I love that. That's great. Yeah. Well, what is so bad about that?
There's nothing bad about that. I mean, if you
just your relationship side of your life was a bit crap for a while. You know, we've all had that, but yours was just showcased on national television. And that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. You know, and you're right. Look, if you remain authentic and you are just completely sincere about your intentions and you remain completely transparent, I think people respect that. People don't necessarily need to agree with everything you say. Mm. But, you know, if they can see that there's some value in what you're saying, but also if you're being honest, then honesty is it's like truth, man. It always finds a way. And people respect that. And that's my intention, is to try and just remain as open and honest and transparent as I can. And hopefully people will go, do you know what? I happen to agree with a few other things he says, and I trust him. So he can't be a bad bloke. And I think that might be, in fact, maybe perhaps a subliminal reason why I started making a podcast, was I just wanted to change hearts and minds. Probably half the country thought I was a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you wanted people to see you talking for a long period of time without being edited and little clips of good and bad and bad and good and everything like that.
Right there. Yep. And at the same time, it was like, well, by the time we set the studio up, it's like, well, why don't we do something good here and make something? And in some cases, you know, we'll talk about, I don't know, not so much current affairs, but people will, you know, ask questions off Instagram and we answer those, or I bring a guest in and we just, it sounds like we're talking bollocks, but I'm actually building to something more significant where, you know, I want people to just, once I've established that trust, we can really dig in and start talking about, you know, issues that concern us, you know, the deeper stuff. The more interesting things that will make a difference in everybody's life.
I want to talk about a guy who is waxed, lean, works out at the gym probably about 3 or 4 times a day. He's funny, he's a stand-up comedian. He's even done a little bit of work in the US.
Who is this guy?
And he's someone who's been giving you a little bit of stick online. I'm talking about Ash Williams.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
What's the go with you and Ash?
Okay, let me tell you the story. I hope he watches this because he knows I'm going to tell the absolute truth here. I met this gentleman on a TV show. I don't know if I can mention the name. I won't. But we did a little show and he was co-hosting it. And it was actually my father and I that appeared on it. And, you know, we rocked in there and we answered these particular questions. I felt like he bombed on the night. He asked my dad a really unusual question that was, frankly, a little bit rude. And my dad dealt with it in a really classy way. And I think he was behind the eight ball. And he didn't do very well that night, Ash. But, you know, I could see his potential. He's probably a really funny bloke. I've never seen his act, to be fair. The next thing I heard was he was on a Melbourne radio show, ripping in. So Mike's, you know, trying to stay in the media. And to be fair, I did ask him the question after that particular TV show. I said, hey, listen, buddy, you know, how are you become part of the media? I wanted to know a little bit.
You're an electrician. You're interested in
exactly
it.
A bit about his career.
You can ask people questions. You just did something for him. You were on his show.
Exactly.
You answered his questions. Answer one of yours.
Right. Now, that's right. You know, we had a chat. Mate, we couldn't have chatted for more than a minute and a half. And then we went off and chatted with other people. We were mingling, essentially. The next thing I knew, he was saying on radio that I'd asked for his email and that I was trying to pick his brain on how I could be part of the media and how I could grow my fame. Mate, that never did I ask for an email. Never did I send an email because I didn't have his email. And I just thought, you know what? This guy is actually lied about me to, I suppose, his contemporaries.
What did he lie about? What did he say?
Well, he said that I'd asked for his email and that I was asking how I could get into media, which I wasn't. I just asked about his career. And then, I don't know, since then, I haven't really taken much notice of him, but I don't know if this is someone...
Because they wrote about it in the paper and turned it into a story.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Okay, well, that doesn't surprise me. But I don't know, is this someone trying to stay relevant? I don't know, is he a good comedian?
I know he's a good table dancer.
Okay.
He used to work in a men's strip club in LA as a table dancer.
I feel like
he's... Or was he a waiter? You know, I interviewed him, and I should know this. I'm sorry, Ash, if I can't remember, but he's a funny guy, and I got to say, I'm fired up because I listen to his show, and I'm one of his fans.
Okay.
And if you're a fan of the Ash Williams podcast, you're fired up. But I'm gonna ask you this for him.
Yeah, tell me.
Would you go on his show?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. Where is he?
I'm pretty sure he does it from Bondi.
Oh, I'm not going down to Sydney for that.
Just across the balcony from his place, there's a show, which part of the show is two people having sex quite often that he sits there and he commentates on.
Yeah.
And
charming.
And pigeons. I mean, he has pigeons on the show. And a lot of other big celebrities from different TV shows. Ben Fordham, Sam Mack.
Yeah.
He hasn't had me on the show there. I've been on his show. I don't know why he hasn't had me on. I don't know what's the problem. Hey, come on, Ash. But so you would. Okay, cool.
I think you
should go on there and you should sort it out with him about the whole email address and the wanting to know information about your career.
Yeah.
And then he can talk to you a little bit.
Well,
more.
Look, as sure as I sit here, it didn't happen that way. So what we're talking about is a dishonesty, essentially a lie that I heard play out. I thought,
he didn't write the article though. Maybe it was
I saw him say this on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a YouTube. Somebody tagged me in it, and it was him saying this. So it was with his words. It wasn't edited. And that disappointed me. I wrote to him. I said, in fact, I did.
Did he write back?
He did and said something and it wasn't good enough. So I deleted it.
What did he
and
write?
And I blocked him. Oh, I can't remember. I could probably find it. But I essentially wrote,
like, that's not right, mate.
Yeah. I said, hey, what's with that? Come on. You know, as well as I do, I never asked you for that. And I never asked this line of questioning. I said, why would you sort of throw me under the bus like that? And I'll tell you what it is. Let me tell you why it is and how. Okay.
Because
I'm not going to name names.
You worry about the particulars so
absolutely
much. Why?
It's critical.
Why do you care?
Without rules in this world,
but they're your rules.
Nothing. Well, sure, but I'm the ruler
they're
of
your
my
values,
own life.
I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't.
They're not rules. They're your values.
Just don't lie to me. As soon as you lie to me, right? That's my yardstick right there. If I know when I'm being lied to, it's like an alarm goes off. You know what I mean? That intuition you get when you're being lied to. And in some cases, look, you've got to go along with it because you can't disprove
it. It was just a little particular. Like, you know, I was just... he asked for my email and... I think it was probably more going into the selling a funny story mode rather than relying on the facts of the story. And you're an electrician. You've got to work with facts.
Yeah, I do.
You know, you can't put your finger on that wire there. Otherwise, you'll die. So you're very structured in the way that you do things from your job. And now
maybe that translates.
This is heading towards your new job. You're like, hang on a minute. I didn't ask for your email address. I just want to know about your career. And that might help me with my career because I'm now working in this industry. But Ash is a good bloke. You'll love him. You got to get to know him a little bit better. And he's just a fun comedian.
I give him another chance. But I'll tell you two things. Okay, firstly, you know, you defended him. And I like that. I love people defending their friends. I mean, I'm a proponent of that. And let me tell you something.
Oh, we're not friends. I just said I'm a fan.
Okay, well, fans. Hey, hang on. Fans and friends are apparently...
I'm a fan. With
you're a fan and a friend. They're apparently the same thing. And no, that's fine. But I applaud that. However... The whole crux of his argument was that particular detail, and that detail was fabricated. So that's rule number one. Secondly, I would give him another chance. I didn't mind the cut of his jib. He actually looked like quite a handsome bloke to me. Like I thought, oh, this guy.
Oh, he's a male model.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I feel like he was
a talented actor. He was on Two and a Half Men with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Why is that?
I thought his delivery was. I wasn't a fan of. I didn't think he was mellifluous enough.
Please explain. Mellifluous.
I didn't think he had a flow with the way he spoke. But then maybe that's just me being biased now because he ripped in. But I'm not going to do the same. Two wrongs don't make a right, so I'm not going to return serve on that. But no, I'm just being completely honest.
You can just say a message to him right now if you like.
No, I don't doubt he'll see this because guaranteed, if he knows we've been speaking about this, he's going to watch. And he'll hate that I don't think that he's as good as what he is. But I haven't seen enough, to be fair. I haven't seen his body of work, and I'm not about to go out and look at it. But I will say, I will go on his show, but I will tell you this, Mike. If anyone tries to, because I have these confrontations from time to time, and I don't take a backward step, but I know that when someone tries to corner me, you know what I mean? They do it in the public all the time, in the media all the time, on radio particularly, and never has anyone got one over on me. And I know this because people write and go, oh, buddy, you stitched him up again. And this is like three or four panelists, professional radio people, trying to come at me with, you know, rapid-fire questions or whatever it might be, and they end up just kind of going, well, we can't pin this guy down. So he's going to do well. If he wants to play nice, that's great. That would be a good thing. I'd enjoy that. But if it's, he's going to take the gloves off, well, he'll go viral with that because it's not going to end well.
I love how you take everyone word for word, face value, and if someone says something, you will pull them up on it. And you will go them every time.
I?
That's why it makes you such a great guest for a radio show or someone who is perfect to do a podcast because no matter what people say, you go, whoa, hang on a minute, and you'll break it down and you'll talk about it and you'll figure out what the real
truth is. Do you
like
that? Do you
think I love that's a good that. I think that's great.
Do you do that?
I love that honesty. But the only thing that I think would stress me out if I had a part of your personality is the fact that I feel like you're worrying about things a bit more than you say you are.
You've mentioned that before a couple of times.
But you really don't give a shit.
No. Well, hang on a second. It's disappointing to see that somebody would, you know, say a falsehood about me. Because, well, where's the benefit in that? I mean, it makes you look silly. And I think the whole point was to make me look silly. And frankly, you've come off, no one's the winner. Let's all be honest with one another. There's too much dishonesty. You look at, oh boy, don't get me started. But I am frank. But do I worry about it? No. I mean, it's not me that's being dishonest. Truth is stranger and more interesting than fiction, right? Now, that's a fact. You know, if somebody's telling you something that's not true, it can be entertaining to some extent. I mean, I guess, you know, we all, you know, maybe throw in a little bit of poetic license to tell a story to make it sound just that little bit better. But when you're telling the honest truth at all times, it actually is far more compelling, believe it or not, than when somebody's lying to you. And I guess, again, the devil's in the detail. I will pick you out if you've told me something that's wrong. Even a little white lie, I'll be like, no, it's not going to fly.
So what are you going to do for bucks now? You'd get doing a couple of TV commercials and stuff like that. I mean, the podcasts take a while to build up the following and the advertising and stuff like that. What's the Mike Gunner plan?
That's a good point. Do you know what? I'm not a planner much. I'm a bit of a fly by the seat of your pants thing. I have spoken to a lady about a radio position. I think Talkback. I don't think I'd go into one of these morning radio shows that focus on scandal and you've got 6 minutes to interview someone and try and then you've got to play an ad. That wouldn't appeal to me. I feel like, again, there's an agenda. What? You're frowning. You don't agree with it?
No. I was actually just thinking of where you could fit in on radio because you said you wanted to work on radio and talk back. And I was actually, if you want me to be honest, I was thinking about a radio station where you could work that really needs help at the moment because its ratings are absolute dog shit.
Well, let's turn them around.
4BC in Brisbane. This is just down the road.
Really?
And what their big mistake is that they're playing Sydney traffic reports and Sydney news and they've got Alan Jones is a great broadcaster and Ray Hadley in the morning.
He is, yeah.
But it's so Sydney-centric and people in Brisbane are just going piss off. That's been proven in the ratings. But they could, you should hit them up and say, hey.
Why wouldn't you have applied for this job?
I'll do a couple of hours a day. Because like I mentioned to you before, I don't want to dedicate a big chunk of my time to working on a radio station where, I'd love doing it. And I've worked on radio for about 20 years of my life. But you've got to be out there constantly promoting and working with just the radio station. Yeah. But I've got, you know, TV shows and films and a film festival. And
you're frying other fish.
And so many other things that I'm doing and that I want to do. But you know, and that's not to say that I'd never get back on radio.
Yeah.
You know, if I actually thought about, you know, hitting up 4BC and go, hey, you know what, you need a good local show. And the,
well, I don't want to step on your toes.
I know some great talent like Sammy Power, who used to do breakfast here in Sydney, number one breakfast show. Oh, sorry, in Brisbane and in Sydney, she was on air there with on Triple M.
Yeah,
she would be great. She just runs the Jam Powers Farmers Markets here, and she's a wasted talent. She should be on air on 4BC,
no
doing
doubt.
Her own talkback show.
Yeah,
the only reason why she wouldn't is she doesn't know a lot about politics. But you know, you can just read the paper that day and figure out
that's right,
what the hell they're talking about.
I'm across the political sort of spectrum, but I will say this: look, can I be completely honest with you? I realized that in life. You know, really, somebody said to me once, you know, all you really have is your memories. And, you know, when we leave this mortal coil, I mean, all we're really left behind is our legacy. What you've done. Have you done something positive? Have you made a difference? What's your footprint? And if the podcasting thing is the way to change the world, maybe you can't do it. Maybe you can. I'm sure it's all going to die trying. But I want to make a positive change in this world because we don't have a lot of time. And look, we'll talk back somehow achieve that. If it was a better option than say doing a podcast, yeah, I'd go for it.
I think, you know,
if it's not, I won't.
If it's someone you believe in and you trust as an independent journalist, which is basically what podcasters are, then you know that they're going to get the facts of the story rather than hearing a news bite on a TV show or radio show that could have been influenced by whoever was in the ad break that they just played.
Well, they'd either love me or hate me, because I can tell you right now, I'll get to the truth. And probably like you, Mike, and I've liked your style for years, actually. I'm a big fan of you.
Oh,
by
thanks.
The way.
Yeah, I never get out of town.
Yeah, no, I did. I always liked your style. You always had a nice humility, and you got a great voice. But you've also got the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, I've always been a big fan of that. And which is why I'm here, because, you know, we met and I was actually very, I was a little bit starstruck meeting you, just quietly.
Get out of town.
Excuse me.
I met you, you were holding a pig. And it shat on you.
That's what happens when you hold a pig.
We're doing a fundraiser for the RSPCA, and you showed up with your pet pig. Oh, g'day, Mike, pleased to meet you. Oh, your pig just shat on you.
Well,
and it was like,
I think it weed on me actually.
Oh, wee, okay, sorry.
Well, can I tell you the story of that pig?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So a friend of mine, who I haven't known long, but a lady that owns a little, not far from here, the Unchained Animal Welfare Society, she has a farm that she created where she takes these, you know, homeless and injured animals from factory farms. And she actually will home them in this beautiful space that she's got, you know, just outside of Brisbane here. And I met her and I was a big fan of what she did. So I went along and we chatted and then I went to the RSPCA thing and they said, look, you got to bring a pet with you. And I have a pet, a cat and a dog in Sydney at the moment. And I'm not able to bring him to my place in Goldie because I can't have pets there. But I said to her, look, can I bring little Samson? Samson was that pig's name. And she said, absolutely. So she came along with me. We both got dressed up. And Samson doesn't like to be held and he doesn't really go on the ground well in public. He runs away and squeals. So he will go in this little pram though. And I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. I'm going to be walking a pig in a pram down a red carpet. But I thought, you know what? Hey, if this helps a little awareness of just, you know, raise a little awareness of, you know, people that shouldn't, you know, I don't like keeping animals in cages, especially not factory farms. And that's what pigs live their lives doing, which is shit, man.
Yeah, bacon's the worst thing there.
Well,
unless it's free range and nitrate free, which is so hard to get if you have to eat it.
And we just don't need it, right? So, and all these farmers would be sitting there going, shut up, mate. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. But look, and I see their point.
Farmers just grow things that
They could easily...
Rather than growing meat.
Well, it's probably not easy to change a cattle farm or cattle station into, you know, crops of... But it's not out of the... And there may come a day where it's a necessary thing.
Technology is there to do that. I mean, you look at the guy who's growing, I think it's something like 30% of Australia's tomatoes at the moment.
I bet he's killing it.
In greenhouses out in the desert that they said that could never happen.
Yeah.
And that kind of technology is mind-blowing for how easy it is to grow vegetables parts of the world where they didn't think that they could.
That's right.
And desalinization of salt water now to grow crops in areas where there's not normally that much rain is such a big thing.
And the energy cost of desalinization plants is unbelievable. They built one down in Sydney. I don't even know that they've started the damn thing up yet. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't build another catchment, I'll never know. But I think it was Bob Carr that he went over to Dubai years ago and they wined and dined him. They sold him about a $3 billion unit and came and installed the thing. I don't think they've turned the thing on yet. Or maybe they have.
It's going to get cheaper though. Like everything, you know.
Energy is a big issue for this country, for this world.
And I mean, obviously everyone wants solar power and we want wind power and we want wave power. We want more more dams so that we can conserve the water for the regional areas. But there's steps to get there. And
there is.
Unfortunately, we can't go, right, no more coal fire, because we're all going to be having lamps in our houses and cooking on coal stoves. It's like we need it in the meantime to be able to get there. There's no point in us paying the prices that generation that just has to pay 20 times our electricity bill, because there's no other choice other than putting all of the money into electricity, into solar. So I think we still need to have a few coal-fired power stations, at least for the next 30 or 40 years.
We definitely do, and nor does the technology exist. Let's take solar, for instance. I believe the most efficient solar panel can work at something in the 20% efficiency. Mm. I mean, once that gets up around the 75 and over percentage of efficiency, then they'll be a more viable option. We've got wind power, we've got
tidal
power.
It is batteries. It comes down to batteries. And the battery size is coming down. Like the new Mitsubishi, it's got a car battery in it, the electric car that Mitsubishi are bringing out, and you can once you park it in your house, you can run your house off the car.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
and really cool. There's a new documentary out. The guy who made that Sugar film, I can't remember what his name is.
Oh, what was the name of the film?
It's 2040 or something like that. Yeah. He basically, in this documentary, he goes and explores all the different ways that we could use renewables right now in society, and he goes and meets this scientist from Bangladesh who went to the US and studied at MIT, and he put solar panels on all these people's houses and connected them. So when you're not using the solar in your house, it's
just part of the grid.
The person next door, or it's getting saved to a battery, and the person four blocks down can be using that, but you're making money off them, and they make money off you, or
that's
vice
great.
Versa.
Yeah.
And this, but these are people who are just running a TV in one light. We got to run the dishwasher,
the aircon, the hot water.
There's so much more that's going on here, but we're going in the right direction doing that kind of thing.
Do you think we are? I mean, you look at some of these companies. I mean, why aren't we pouring effort and energy into discovering, or certainly developing existing technologies? Because I feel like we spoke about this on my podcast the other day. As humans, I think we're so resourceful, and yet it's as if we solve problems when they arise. We're not very good at preventative solving of problems, because I feel like it could sort of come too late for us if we don't get onto solving issues now. We can't burn coal. We can't burn coal forever. And these are non-renewable resources. The oil that we burn, that stuff, it was developed in swamplands millions of years ago and has sat under the ground. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And as well as that, long before it's gone, we're going to have damaged the environment with the stuff we're using. I mean, we're burning this stuff at a rate you would not believe. And it's no good for the environment. We know that.
Yeah.
We already know this.
It's technology, putting money into technology. Like I was reading one the other day about this university that's developed the technology to suck CO2 from the atmosphere to make coal.
Yep.
So we're pumping it into the atmosphere and then we're sucking it out to make coal. So it's like a circle of making it and creating it.
Look,
so
if there was an efficiency there and it wasn't damaging, ecologically, then it's fine. I'm all for it. But unfortunately, the environment has a price to pay, and we are part of that environment. I feel like we as humans think that we're somehow removed from the environment. We can go into our comfortable little home with our aircon and our hot electric blanket and all the creature comforts of life. But how long is that going to last?
I do think that the power companies and the big petro companies are all in the same way that cigarette companies were putting out press releases to say the smoking's
That's
not
right.
that bad for you.
That's right.
They're doing that now. And I think in the next 30, 40 years, we're going to look back. Remember when they were telling us that we had to have coal fired power stations and we couldn't live without them, and coal is here for the future. And, we have clean coal that burns and doesn't even put anything in the atmosphere. I mean, we're going to look back and say, what a load of crap that we were fed and we believed it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, just make these solar panels more efficient. You know, the sun, our sun, generates more power in 1 second than we would generate in something like a million years. How come we're not harnessing that? How come we're not, it just feels like not given up, but
more
we're
money
just not
into
putting
it.
Exactly.
Like take the money
what's it
away.
Take?
Take the money away that governments are giving to people like Adani to be able to set up. And the mining companies in Australia, they already make billions, but they still put...
They're still
put
going
millions,
ahead.
They put millions into those companies. Why not take those millions out and put them in renewables? Put them in... And I think that's what the Labor Party are trying to do.
Did you jump up and down about that Adani thing?
Their campaign. Only for the main reason being that it was going to be near the Great Barrier Reef, and I thought that it'd create a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And did we need to build something so ridiculously, stupidly huge?
Yeah.
Just so we can make a shit ton of money out of India.
Well, that's right. Because most of that coal or whatever it is, the minerals and elements they're taking out of the ground, we're not even going to use it. It's the same we do with our gas. We take all this gas out, we sell it to them for like 2 cents a litre, and we got to buy it at our service station for $1.50.
Yeah.
How's that work?
We're paying more money for electricity than here than the people in India are paying something like 1,000% less, and it's our coal.
That's right.
How does that work? Anyway, we could talk about renewables.
We could go on and on forever.
And get all political. But we've been yapping on for probably what would be the longest podcast I've done.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we've only just scratched the surface.
That's why you've got your own show. That's why you've got your podcast that you could take to the world. You could change the world, right, Mike Connor?
Do you come down the Goldie much? Are you going to come and chat with us?
I'd love to come and chat on your show.
We'll make it light and fluffy. I feel like you're right. We got a little dark and deep.
But that's what people want. They want real conversations. They want us to talk about what we think and what's going on, and they can get a vibe for what is happening in the world.
Let me ask you this though, Mike. It's one thing to talk about it, but when are we going to get some real action on this stuff?
Well, how do you create action and take it away from your Facebook page is a really good question. That's what I should talk about on your show. And everyone gets in their echo chamber and says, we should have coal-fired power stations. Mm. We shouldn't have, we shouldn't be making kids have sex changes just because they think they're a girl or a boy at age 6 or 7. If you really do feel strongly enough about it and you get a petition from people and take it to your local politician and actually, start a group where you actually go out and meet or protest or, get donations so that you can start a advertising campaign so that you can get the truth out there to the public.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because it's not going to do anything. Just my dad's a perfect example. Like, he's on his Facebook page. Every day, he's just saying the same shit to the same fucking people, and they're just agreeing.
Nothing
with
changes.
It's not going to change shit the choir, in the world. Yeah. He's sitting there constantly retweeting stuff about Donald Trump or the environment and how, electric cars are a crock of shit. Those people all agree with you, and that's the only reason why they're there. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, look, but okay, so you get a petition, you've got all this great support behind you, but ultimately, is it going to make any difference? Do I have to go down and join politics in Canberra? I mean, is this what it's going to take?
And even just running for parliament on your own values and the things that you want to see change about the world can help. Because you say to the one who you know is going to win, if it's a liberal area, I'm going to give my preferences to you. But this is the main thing I believe in. I want to see a independent political overseer to stop corruption in federal politics, which we don't have at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you my preferences if you
I'd
push
love
that for
that job.
To happen.
I would love that job.
Do you know what I mean?
I'd haul it people across
well,
the coals.
Well, we need it because they've got it in state parliament, but they don't have it in federal politics. And that's one thing.
Might throw my hat in the ring. Jeez, it's so dry.
Maybe you should be a politician, Mike Gunner. Vote one, Mike Gunner.
Yeah, it's so dry.
I'm going to do these things.
The wheels turn so slowly. But I will tell you this before we sign off here.
Yeah.
I often watch Question Time and I watch these guys and I think they're just not hitting it on the head. They're losing their way and they're getting, they're losing their nerve in the wrong moments. And I think, geez, I wish I was in there, telling it how it was. Because I can tell you, no one would get one over on me. Simple as that.
Yeah. You'd be a good politician.
They
you,
could
wait,
be
wait,
yelling
wait, what'd
from,
you say? I'm going to talk to you about that. Wait.
Oh, yeah. There'd be no question. I think I could do it. And I think that I've got fair, I've got good values that I think would represent people. I haven't put a lot of thought into it. Somebody else asked me that the other day. In fact, that journalist that wrote a horrible story said, you've got all these beliefs. Why don't you join politics? And to me, on the face of it, it just sounds so dry and boring. Mm. But at the same time, it's going to get some change. I will get in there, but I'll tell you what, I'll make it spicy.
Oh, yeah.
Question Time will never be the same again. They won't get one past me. It's that simple.
Yeah, cool, man. I like that. I might even vote for you. Vote one, Mike Gunner. Well, it would be 2023, I think, would be the next election.
Would you wear a badge with my name?
We could do. I'll come and hand out how to vote cards for you. My stepdad was a federal politician for 30 years. So I've lived and worked around all that kind of stuff. But we'll talk about that on your show.
Let's do that.
Mike Gunner, thank you so much for being on the mic. You're a true champion.
Mike Goldman.
Good to get to know you.
Damn, it's good to meet you.
See what you like and I like what I see.
Do you?
You're a good guy.
Good, man. Right back at you.
Thank you for watching. See you next time.
See you guys.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.